Much of the world will be celebrating what is known as Christmas tomorrow. And today I want to talk about that, but a little bit differently. My message today is called Christmas, a Jewish Holy Day. Christmas, a Jewish Holy Day. Let me tell you about something that happened years ago. Several years ago, around Christmas, when we lived in El Paso, Texas, I met with a pastor's group. And this group, we used to meet each month, and it was for the purpose of fellowship and for establishing unity in the body of Messiah. And then the leader of the group asked each one of us how we celebrate Christmas and how we incorporate Jesus into the true meaning of Christmas into our congregations. Well, in this group, we had various pastors and reverends and priests and Baptist and Catholic and Charismatic and Episcopal and Foursquare and Lutheran and Methodist and Nazarene and Presbyterian and me, a Messianic Jewish rabbi. And they all began to share their thoughts and their traditions and liturgy concerning Christmas, and they would talk about the Christmas trees in their churches and the angels that they would put up and all the different, you know, Christmas traditions that they had and some of the liturgies that they would do during Christmas and so forth. But then it was my turn. And I had a little bit different perspective on this. You know, I told them, you know, being Jewish and leading a Messianic Jewish synagogue, I said, you know, I really don't have any tradition dealing with Christmas. But I told them I do share what the real meaning of Christmas is and how it celebrates the birth of Messiah. I told them that I emphasize what the birth meant, Messiah's birth meant for the world and what it continues to mean. But then as I was speaking, it came to me. You know what? Christmas is really a Jewish holy day, just like all the other holy days, in a sense. So I began to share with them from a Jewish perspective. And I said that both Miriam and Yosef, Joseph and Mary, were Jewish, and they were descendants of Melech David, that is King David. They were betrothed according to the Torah, the Jewish laws and traditions. I said that Miriam was with child in a miraculous way in fulfillment of Jewish prophecies that are spoken about in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And in Isaiah 7, 14, it says, "Therefore, Adonai himself will give you a sign. The Alma, the young maiden, the virgin, will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." And then also we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name Pele, Yoetz, El Gibor, Aviad, Sar Shalom. He will be called Wonder of a Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. In order to extend the dominion and perpetuate the peace of the throne and the kingdom of David, to secure it and sustain it through justice and righteousness, henceforth and forever, and the zeal of Adonai Tzivaot, the Lord Almighty, will accomplish this." Now, I didn't have those scriptures in front of me, but I did share them now as I spoke to these pastors. And I said that Joseph and Mary, they traveled to Bethlehem, to the house of bread, to Bethlehem, the city where Melech David, King David, was born, because they were required to journey to the city of their ancestors, where their family records were kept because of the census that was ordered by Augustus Caesar. And I told him that his name was Yeshua, that he was born in Bethlehem, a Jewish city, in a Jewish country, in fulfillment of Jewish prophecy, such as Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, near Ephrat, so small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come forth to me the future ruler of Israel, whose origins are from in the past, back in ancient times." And I said that Magi, the wise men, of course, you know, all Jewish people are wise men, right? Or wise guys, right? The Magi, the wise men from the east, presented Yeshua, Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel, treasures and gifts according to Jewish prophecy. In Psalms chapter 72, verse 10, because he was a rightful heir to the throne of Melech David, King David. As it says in Psalm 72, verse 10, that the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him, and the kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. And going on, I shared, Yeshua was presented to the God of Israel in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Jewish temple, in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, and had his Brit Milah, his circumcision, on the eighth day, according to Jewish law and Jewish tradition. Yeshua was raised as a Jew. He spoke Hebrew. He was taught the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures, as it was commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, that we should teach them diligently unto our children. He wore the tzitzit. He wore the fringes upon his clothes, on his garments. We know that from the story of the woman with the issue of blood. As commanded in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38, he kept kosher. He kept the dietary laws of Leviticus 11. He wore a beard according to Leviticus 19:27, because they pulled his beard out. Besides all this, he fulfilled many more Jewish prophecies in his life, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, as well as he will fulfill in his return to the Jewish city of Jerusalem. So I shared with this pastor's group, it does sound like Christmas is a Jewish holy day and is filled with many Jewish traditions and customs and laws. And then I ended and I said, I remember asking if anyone had any suggestions on how this Jewish boy might celebrate Christmas, let me know. And this one pastor stood up and suggested that I dye my beard white and wear a red suit. But I told him that, well, my beard's already starting to get white, and that was way back then. You know, the exact date of Yeshua's birth is unknown. Certainly, I don't believe it was December 25th. But it's unknown. The legendary date of December 25th cannot be traced back further than the 4th century. That's the first time they came up with December 25th in the 4th century. You know, almost 400 years after Yeshua's resurrection. In fact, December 25th is actually the date of the pagan Saturnalia celebration around the time of the winter solstice, which took place here on December 21st, a couple days ago, which is the shortest day of the year. In other words, the daylight hours are the shortest of the year on December 21st. And that's when winter began. Isn't it nice to be in Florida and now it's winter? Beautiful, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. However, I'm not going to go into any pagan origins or rites or traditions surrounding Christmas. That's not what I want to talk about, because that would take off the emphasis of the true meaning of this day. Besides a number of rising number of Messianic Jewish leaders and Christian pastors, myself included, believe that Yeshua was actually born on the Jewish feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles. The evidence to this is quite astounding and revealing, as I've shared that before. Furthermore, if Yeshua died on the Passover, was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Living God, was given on the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost, plus the fact that Yeshua is expected to return on some future Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and enter Jerusalem on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, it makes good sense that Yeshua would have been born on Sukkot. And all these speculations, they're nice and they're probably true, but the exact birth date of Yeshua is not important. It's really not important. But what is important? That Yeshua was born and that he was born with a purpose. That's what's important. And what was that purpose? That purpose was to die for the sins of the world and to be raised so that we, all of us here, would have eternal life. That's why he was born. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We read Luke 2, 8 through 14. Now there were shepherds in the same region, living out in the fields and guarding their flock at night. Suddenly, an angel of Adonai stood before them, and the glory of Adonai shone all around them. And they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you, which will be great joy to all the people. A deliverer is born to you today in the city of David." This is Bethlehem, Bethlehem. "Who is the Messiah, the Lord. And the sign to you is this: you will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." That word manger is really, going back to the Hebrew, is also meaning stable, but it also had to mean in the Hebrew as a temporary dwelling place, a sukkah. "And suddenly a multitude of heavenly armies appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth shalom to men and of good will.'" Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many Jewish people during that time period, they were looking for a political leader to deliver them from the rule of the Romans. Others were hoping for a deliverer to free them from sickness and from all physical hardships. But this angelic announcement concerned the Redeemer who would deliver them from sin and death. And that was something different. That was something new. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "You are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins." And that's what Yeshua means. It means salvation, or God will save. Taken from, it comes from the original Hebrew, Yehoshua, or Joshua. God will save. God is my salvation. "You are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins." The angel sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth shalom to men on whom his favor rests." These angels, they recognized the glory and the majesty of God by giving praise to him. they recognized that this was the Son of God. And that peace, that shalom they spoke of, is not assured to all, but only to those who are pleasing to God, the objects of His good pleasure. During this time, the Roman world was experiencing what was known as the Pax Romana, Roman peace, which is kind of a joke in itself, because the way Rome made peace around the world is by conquering and subjugating all the nations of the world to Roman rule and Roman law, and if they didn't, they were killed. So that's how they maintained peace around the world. But the angels here, they proclaimed a deeper peace, a more lasting shalom peace than that, a peace of mind and a peace of soul made possible by the deliverer and the redeemer. Peace with God is received by faith in the Messiah, Yeshua. That's how we have peace. And that's the only way we're going to have peace in this world, is through Yeshua. All other peace is just false. It's just an illusion. The only peace that we can have individually or this world will ever see is through Yeshua, our deliverer and our redeemer. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Adonai Yeshua the Messiah." That's how we have peace through God, with God, through the Lord Yeshua, our Messiah. The Davidic Messiah, Yeshua, was called the Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew, Sar Shalom. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And the Messiah promised peace to his Talmudim, to his disciples. In John chapter 14, verse 27. Where he says, "Shalom, I leave you. My shalom, I give you. But not like, or not as the world gives shalom or peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." And this peace speaks of total well-being and inner rest of the Ruach, the Spirit, in fellowship with God. And all true shalom, all true peace is a gift from God. And the world can only express a longing and a wish for peace, but they're never going to see it without Yeshua. That's the only way we're going to have peace in the world. But Yeshua's shalom, His peace, is real. And it's present now, and we can receive that peace. You know what the real meaning of Christmas is? You can find it in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The most well-known scripture from the Second Covenant, the New Testament, John 3, 16 and 17. This is the real meaning of Christmas. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This day, Messiahmas, Christmas, the Messiah's birth, you know, it's not about presents, and it's not about gifts, and it's not about trees, and it's not about decorations, and it's not about parties, and it's not about mistletoe, and it's not about red flowers, and it's not about eggnog, and I love eggnog. And most certainly, absolutely, most certainly, it's not about Santa Claus, reindeer, and elves. I promise you it's not about that. No, no, no. The real meaning of this day is the birth of the Messiah of Israel, the Redeemer and Deliverer of the world. Yeshua, the Messiah, was born for a purpose. And that purpose was to bring salvation and redemption to the world through his death and his resurrection by the outpouring of his blood. That's what it means. We can now be assured of eternal life because he reigns eternally at the right hand of the Father. Now, all of us here, we can now have shalom. We can have that peace of God which transcends all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in the Messiah Yeshua, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is what this day really means. Now, I celebrate Hanukkah. And tonight, we're going to light our Hanukkah, our menorah, at sundown. And tomorrow, because we're not going to get home till late, tomorrow we're going to have a little Hanukkah party at my house. And Irene is going to make latkes, potato pancakes, lots of them, and delicious ones. And she's going to make blintzes, and she bought cheese blintzes and pineapple blintzes, and apple blintzes, and blueberry. She's going to fry them in oil because we're supposed to fry things in oil and eat things made with oil because of the miracle of the Hanukkah lights, the miracle of oil. So I don't celebrate Christmas. But I remember that God so loved me and God so loved you that he sent Yeshua, the Redeemer, the Deliverer of all mankind, to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, so that you and I might have eternal life. That's what I remember about this time. That's what I remember. I remember Irene telling me a story, I guess it was with her family, all of her family celebrates Christmas. And she used to bake a cake and they used to sing happy birthday to Yeshua, so that at least they would understand what the real meaning and whose birthday it is and who should be getting gifts. He should be the one getting gifts. Just like the wise men gave him gifts of frankincense and myrrh and gold and all that. During this time of the year, although I like getting gifts, so if anyone likes to give gifts, I'm welcome. I will receive them. I love gifts, but we should be giving a gift to the Lord of our life, of our love, of our thanksgiving, of our gratitude, our homage to him, our honoring of him. So this time of the year, if you're thinking about gifts and presents, give him your life. Your life. Give him all that you have. Let him know that he is special. And this day is about him and not about you. Not about you. Thank you, Lord. So as I said at the beginning, Christmas, you see, really is a Jewish holy day. Really is. Amen. Thank you, Lord.